sinners are sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for them more. They shoot, they kill, they massacre brain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die. Cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See the shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn. The kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat, right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. And I hope the people that listen to UCY are out spreading the word that there are some really good hosts on UCY, and there's some really good information that people need to be aware of coming across the airwaves at UCY. So if you are a listener of UCY, spread the word. Anyways, it's kind of cool because it's April the 3rd, and I'm in Ontario up on Lake Huron, and, my lawn's all white, and the snow's coming down, and I don't think it's supposed to be doing that, but this is the butt part, and it all boils down to memory banks. You see, the children in school today have no memory of the past. Now, when I was, 12, somewhere in there, 12, 13 years old, back 69, 70, the storms that we had were absolutely vicious. And, if we were having storms like that today, they would be putting out, warnings on your cell phone and that, you know, keep you all freaked out. Back then, we just dealt with it. In this particular town I'm in, it was almost 2 weeks, I think, that nothing moved in or out of here. All roads in and out of here were closed. Now, we're not like in a fly-in area. I mean, we're in southern Ontario. And they had D8 and D9 bulldozers trying to bust the roads open because the snowblowers, they just couldn't move. And eventually the farmers, they went a long ways to opening the roads because they got out their snowblowers. They couldn't get their milk, they couldn't get feed in, they couldn't get nothing. And but that was just some really vicious winters. And back then, they called it global cooling. The big fear was global cooling, but the kids going to school today have never heard of global cooling. They only hear about global warming, but they don't have a memory bank. So it's getting on 50 years ago that the big hoo-ha was global cooling. And then it became global warming. And we're back into a cooling cycle. Okay, it's basically 50 years since the big freak out on global cooling was going on. But then, knowledge is power. And when the globalists, you know, figure out the natural earth cycles, then they move to where it's going next. It's going to warm up. It was really cold, absolutely vicious storms, and then it settled down and it started to warm up. And they know this. So global cooling, they can't push anymore, so they go to global warming, which is just riding on the coattails of a natural earth cycle, which has been going on since the beginning of time. And will continue to go on, whether you're on the planet or not. This idea that global warming is your fault is just as stupid as saying global warming is your fault. If you look at how minuscule we actually are compared to the Earth, compared to our atmosphere, we don't matter. We just don't matter. Now, I was wondering why where all of this plastic showed up in the ocean. And then I see a story here in Ontario that all the, or in Canada in general, yeah, it's right across the country, that everybody's freaking out because China's cutting back on the amount of recyclable plastic and other garbage that they're allowing into the country to be recycled. Now, this should be, you know, should stick a pencil or some sharp object in the eye of this so-called environmental movement, which is nothing more than a death cult. You know, you're moving, you go and you sort your garbage, and you put your garbage in this container, you put your garbage in that container, and this truck will pick up that garbage, but it won't pick up this garbage. You got to wait for the next truck. Oh, geez, I missed this day, so I can't put out the plastic. What about tomorrow? No, the cardboard's not till next week. They got you people running around like a bunch of idiots. Garbage is garbage is garbage. So they bundle up all this garbage, and they put it on ships, and they send it to China. So all of this, you know, negative effect on the environment that you think that you're helping with is more than outdone by the pollution coming out of the ships going across to China and then sending the recycled plastic garbage back here encased in their products they produce, because we don't produce anything now. So the same, you know, the ship takes the garbage over, they make up some plastic containers and packaging, and they package the goods, and they put it back on the ship, and they send it over here. Now, I read an article, or a few articles, about just how much pollution comes out of these ships. It's freaking humongous. Never hearing anything about that. You just keep putting your recyclables out of the road. Make sure you do it on the right day. So this whole environmental thing, whether you like to believe it or not, has been a scam since square one. Now, don't believe me, but you might want to believe Rachel Carson, because Rachel Carson wrote a book called Silent Spring, I think in 62 or something. You can go and pick all this stuff up. If you just go to my old blog, canadiantruths.wordpress.com, and put in Rachel Carson, you'll come up with the information. So the environmentalist jumped on her book, you know, about DDTs and all this kind of stuff. And this is back, you know, we had the Love Canal problem and whatnot. And this really kicked off the environmental movement. And that was written in 62, Silent Spring. But what I've never heard of an environmentalist ever mention Rachel Carson's earlier book called The Sea Around Us, which is written in 54, 58, explaining the deep ocean cycle, warming and cooling of the deep sea currents. And that explains absolutely, unequivocally, the heating and cooling. Now, When they fired up the global warming nonsense, there was also a solar maximum. So you combine the solar maximum with the cycle of the sea currents, deep sea currents, which were warming at the time. Guess what? It's going to get freaking hot. And we're past that now. And now we're in a new cooling cycle. We've been cooling for a while now. But to be sitting here watching the snow fall on April the 3rd in southern Ontario is ridiculous. So they make all of these problems up. They make the problems up. They make the solutions up. And then the media, the movies, magazines propagate, the schools propagate the lie. And then people eventually believe the lie. Now back to the plastic in the oceans, you know, I'm thinking, how in the hell, I saw like eight million tons or some ridiculous number of plastic ends up in the ocean each year. How's that possible? Unless you're putting it there. And then when I saw this story about sending all this plastic over to China, and that China was getting ticked off because the amount of not really good plastic or stuff that would be a problem to recycle, they don't want that. So they're starting to restrict recycling or the amount of garbage that's sent to them. Well, if you're on a boat and you're going across the ocean, it's more than possible that the word on the ship is dump anything that we can't use on the way over here. Because you can't get that much plastic in the ocean any other way. And that creates this big freaking island, it's huge, of plastic floating around in the ocean. And now they want to get rid of plastic. They want to cut all fossil fuel, everything that has anything to do with a fossil fuel, whichever the hell you want to call a fossil fuel. I mean, it's rather ridiculous. You know, fossil fuel. When I was a kid in school, grade school, we were actually told that oil comes from decaying dinosaurs, for crying out loud. Of course, that's not true, but that's what they told us. And you're supposed to not question scientists. Well, if you don't question scientists, then, well, you've opened your mind to accepting all manner of propaganda and outright lies as truth, i.e. global warming. And vaccines and, you know, the whole nine yards, the fact that you... You know, all the way from the beginning of time, all the way up, there was always a creator. And it wasn't until recently, and it is recently, I mean, when you take the course of history, you know, it wasn't until the mid-19th century that all of a sudden, God didn't create man. You evolved from a great ape. And don't question the scientists, please, because we have a plan. So we're going to reassign you from man to animal. And we, the elite, whatever they want to call themselves, the psychopaths, will play God. And they have now dominion over the animals, just like Creator gave man dominion over the animals. Well, man doesn't have dominion over man, so man turns you into an animal. And those men who turned you into an animal now have dominion over you. And you've been enslaved ever since. And we have to come to terms with this. We have to deal with it. If we don't deal with it, well, then it's our fault. I'm so sick of people blaming politicians. You know, politicians are psychopaths. they fit the description of a psychopath. They smile at you, they shake your hand, they look you square in the eye and lie to you. That's a psychopath. They have no morals, they're amoral people, which is what a psychopath is. And those men who turned you into an animal to have dominion over you, control every aspect of your life. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And if you're going to continue to live as animals, then you shall be treated as animals. You know, there was a story about Nestle, the head of Nestle, saying that humans don't have a right to water. Well, the question is, do animals have a right to water? Well, if they find water, I guess they can drink it. But do they have a right to water? Of course not. Now, I've never seen a bunch of animals protesting they have a right to water. The only animals that protest used to be men and women, but now they're classed as animals. So when you're out protesting to the psychopathic elite, they're just laughing at your ass. I mean, they're just laughing at you because you're so stupid. And we have no reason to be stupid, except we were taught to be stupid. They put you in the public school when you're 4 or 5 years old. And they keep the majority of the people there till they are 18. And so many more go on to university, college for another 2 to 5 years. So you are in a system of authority that you don't question for a whole lot of years, so that you're perfectly programmed so that when you get out of that public school system or the higher education system, you will do whatever authority tells you to do without question. In other words, you've been trained like a dog. You know, and the idea is you want to train a dog when it's young. You know, I had a couple of German Shepherds when I was younger. Great animal, great dog, smart animal, very trainable. But the idea was, and you hear other animal owners tell you the same thing. If you wait till that animal is such and such an age before you try to train it, you're going to have a difficult time because the animal's probably going to buck at you. You want to train them young. So when you say, come here, no questions. I'm coming over there right now, boss. If I tell you to sit there and shut up, you sit there and shut up because I trained you early. And that's all the public school system is, a training program. Because remember, you're an animal. If you're walking around calling yourself an animal or calling yourself a human, then you've accepted the fact that you're an animal. And they train the animals to do as they want them to do. So we got to kick this human nonsense out the door, and we have to take back our rightful place, which is that of a man or a woman. He's going to have a very difficult time fighting back against this false authority if you continue to act like a trained animal. You have a very, very difficult time. Now, I really wish all parents would just vacate the schools with their kids. Call it a day. Get them out of there. I saw a story, I think it was in London, Ontario, where some 400 or 800 students didn't have their vaccines up to date, and therefore they were all suspended, which puts their parents into total meltdown. Oh my God, what are we going to do with them? We got to get them vaccinated. You don't want your kids vaccinated. You know, go back in time. It's the only way you're going to get any kind of a memory bank. Of course, it isn't your memory bank, but it is a memory bank of the past. If you go back and look at vaccines when they first started using them, the protests were huge. The doctors were freaking out. They called it blood murder. Because that's what they're doing. They're injecting junk into your bloodstream. With what consequences down the road, you don't know. Now, when you start loading these vaccines up on top of each other, and I don't know what the number of vaccines a child gets today between 0 and 18, but I'm hearing numbers 40, 60, 80, I don't know, some really haywire numbers. Now, you have no idea what vaccine one's going to do. You certainly don't have any idea what vaccine two mixing with vaccine one is going to create. But when you got up in the 30s and 40s, you got a cocktail there that can go off in some weird direction at any time. And it'll probably be a new disease or something because they make up a lot of new diseases. I mean, all these vaccines they've been giving all these kids, one of the things that I think maybe is possibly, because I think about this quite a bit, why are kids today the way they are? Now, I ran a construction company some years back, and marketing companies, and it wasn't that difficult to train people because they wanted to work. They wanted to outdo each other. Today, when I talk to people, you know, like I need to start a new business, where am I going to get some young people? Do you know any young people with any drive? And the answer I get back all the time is no. Well, what happened to them? I mean, when we were 10, 11, 12 years old, I mean, I took my very first contract at the age of 12. Because I wanted to buy something, a pellet gun actually, that my mom didn't want me to have a gun. You shoot your eye out, eh? And so I didn't know how to get it. They were $25 at the time, and that's a long time ago, and $25. Well, that was a decent amount of money for a little kid. So I didn't know how to get it, so I went and took a contract to paint a house. Got three of my buddies, we painted the house, we got $100 for the job, we went and bought a pellet gun. You know, in the wintertime, we're always out, and we didn't even charge people, you know, we were so easy going. We'd get 5-6 of our friends, and you could shovel a driveway real fast with 5 or 6 of your buddies. And we just go down the street and knock doors. You know, this is before everybody had snowblowers and that, but just knock on doors. They say, how much you charge us, whatever you think it's worth. Now, sometimes we didn't get paid so good, and those we kind of took off our list. But generally, we were pretty happy with what we were paid. But you don't see kids doing anything like that today, or at least I don't. And so is it the school system that has dumbed these kids down so bad they have no jam left in them? Or is it a combination of the school system and the multiple vaccines that they're taking that is just generally messing their heads up? And they have no desire whatsoever to really do much of anything, except maybe text. They seem to really like to text. You know, we're really killing our own people. And if our youth are weak, and the elders are weak, then how do you put up resistance to what they're doing to us? And that's something that has to be changed. Now, I talk a lot to, I'm 63, so, but I talk to as many kids as I can speak to, too. And the general thing I'm seeing with the older generations is that they are starting to get angry, which is good. And I've talked to several that say the same thing. We got to get to the kids, man. We got to get to the kids because we're going to pass. And we're just going to leave the kids. They're screwed. And that's exactly what we got to do. Now, the only way you can really get to the kids is to teach the kids. The whole idea is to get them early. I mean, it's the same with a dog, and it's the same with a kid. Whoever gets to the kid first, or the child, I shouldn't call them a kid, whoever gets to the child first has control of their mind. Now, we know what the school system's all about. So we shouldn't have the children in the school system. If you go back in history, you'll find and you will learn exactly why the public school system was set up. It was to get rid of the memory banks of the fathers, the mothers, the grandparents, the great-grandparents, to take that away from them, which is no different than what they did with the residential schools. They wanted to crush any pushback from the native community, and the easiest way to do that is get the children and remove their history, which is what the school system is doing today to everybody else. Now, we see what they did to the native people, and this is the plan they have for us now. And when I spoke to that lady at the reserve that day, I mean, that's still, there's very few things that really hammer me, but that hammered me. When I asked that middle-aged lady if she understood the plan for Whitey, and she just quietly nodded yes to me. When I asked her how it is she gets it so easy in talking to, trying to explain it to Whitey, like beating your head on a brick wall. And she just looked at me and quietly said, "We lived through it. Now it's your turn." And she absolutely nailed it. So we have a duty to the future of the children. We don't particularly matter other than what we can do to turn the kids around. And the only way you're going to turn the kids around is to get them out of the school system. So the only way you're going to get out of the school system is to supply an alternative system where the parents can take the children, go to work, you know, come home, pick up the kids, take them home, and go from there. Because as long as your child is in the public school system, they have to be vaccinated over and over and over again. So you don't want them in the school system. You know, this whole transformation, you're born a girl, now you're a boy, or vice versa, nonsense. That's all part of that evolution thing. This evolution is not a natural process. This is a process to mess up the masses. So it's even easier to deal with them. So the only hope for the children is to get them out of the school system. And the only way to get them out of the school system is to provide an alternative system where they're not required to be vaccinated, where they're not required to do Islamic prayers, where they're not required to be involved in this early sex education, transgenderism nonsense. It's all child abuse. The school system right now can be stamped with child abuse. And if you're a graffiti guy or gal, you have my permission that when you see a school, just go graffiti the thing, you know, child abuse. And nobody can give you a hard time for being a racist or a Islamophobe or any other damn thing or white supremacist. You're just saying it as it is. That school is involved in child abuse. Every school in this country is involved in child abuse. They're all guilty of child abuse. So it's not, I don't think it's over the top to print the truth on the school. And it wouldn't hurt for the kids when they go to the school to see the sign child abuse, because most of the children know something's wrong in the school system. And all you're doing is helping them understand that there's something wrong in a school system. But we really, really, really need to concentrate, because as they always say, the children are the future. Well, unless we're teaching the kids what they need to be taught, then somebody else has control of the future, because they're training the children to be the future they want, not the future that would be called normal, or the future that any moral man or woman would want them to have. So, I want people to think about that. I don't want you to be fearful about it. You know, I don't know how many people I've talked to that have been to the school board because they're ticked right off. But see, the problem is that even though they're adults and have children, they're still stuck in the childlike mindset. So when they go into the school board to voice their concerns or they're pissed off about something, they're walking into a group of authority. And that authority will chew out the parents and tell them that they're not experts and the state is the expert on the teaching of the child, the education of the child, and you should just go home and watch Oprah or some damn thing and let the state look after the children. I've talked to lots of parents who've gone to the school boards and felt totally intimidated. Why would you be intimidated? Simple. Because you were trained to bow down to authority. And my phone is ringing. Who might that be?
Thank you for calling. This is the chief of police calling. I want to know who's doing graffiti on the school.
Ah, that's too funny. I just got a call. What time is it here? How much time I got left in this show? I got almost a half an hour. Okay, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to, if I can find her here. That phone call was from Faye in Calgary. And I think what she said, I can't be certain, but I got headphones on. But I think what she was talking about is who's spraying the graffiti on the schools. Where is she hiding here? See if I can drag her in here, if I can find her. Where did she go? But we have we have an absolute obligation to the children. And if we can't see that, then we're blind. The whole point of this show and so many others is to get people to see. Because once you see, you cannot not see. And once you know, you cannot not know. And until we get a decent number of people in that category, we're not going anywhere. Let's see if we can get a hold of Faye here. Made me chuckle.
Hello, you culture jammer, you.
How is Faye?
I'm great. I just love, I think graffiti is the answer. You know, there's an underpass that's not very far from where I live. And, oh boy, you know, they really, they use that gray paint a lot, and they don't let people put the messages up there. And yet, what the money they spend on public art, I think we really do need to allow the graffiti to come back in, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, graffiti is the good thing about graffiti, whether you agree with it or not, whether you even agree with the message or not, is that graffiti, because of the way it's presented, makes people think. Or at least that's what I see from graffiti. Because it's not something people see all the time everywhere. So when they run into it, it does. I do believe it clicks the brain a little bit.
And it's colorful. Why do we need these gray walls all the time? I mean, I'm not suggesting that you write on other people's houses or private property.
No, I wasn't saying that. The public schools is a public building. It's our building because we pay for it. We pay for the teachers that are in it. We pay for all of the education that so-called education is being propagated to the children. So that is our building. We bought it. We paid for it. We pay for everything in it. That's our building. And I think that's fair game.
Okay, you and me are going to jail doing this. Where do we get our paint guns?
Well, you know, I saw it's really spooky because I saw some stop signs where, and I thought this was brilliant because it says stop, right? And then in smaller letters underneath, it says Agenda 21 or something else. You know?
Now, when we were doing the fluoride battle, we actually made bumper stickers that would fit on the stop sign, and it said, like, you put it on the stop sign, and it would say, poisoning us with fluoridation, so stop poisoning us with fluoridation.
Well, the one thing that we went and you can get these markers, right? See, if you go and spray paint something, they can say you damaged it, right?
You can,
and they give you a hard time about
mark,
it. They have the markers that when it rains or the sun's out for a while, that it just disappears, right, on its own. So that is not permanent damage. It's not even damage at all because it reverses itself. It disappears. A friend of mine, we were at a grocery store one time and we had these markers, and I think she went and marked, oh, there's a place out in the middle of the parking lot where you put the carts, right? So she just went in there and she was marking stop agenda 121 or something. And the cart guy, he couldn't get in the store fast enough to tell the management or that somebody was, you know, writing stuff on the over, you know, so he's got a roof on it, so where the carts go. And it just caused all kinds of commotion. And I couldn't believe it, you know. But we got to get the message out. Got to get the message out. But I think it would be brilliant because when I talk to students, an awful lot of them 5, 6, 8 years ago, if I told the children that, you know, you do realize your teachers are lying to you, they'd get all uppity about it. No, they wouldn't lie to us. But now, when I'm talking to the students, I say, you know, you do realize your teachers are lying to you. And they go, well, yeah. So, you know, it's coming along. It is most definitely coming along. I mean, the garbage is being taught in the schools now. You'd have to be completely brain dead not to believe that your teachers are lying to you, right? So, you know, I think, you know, a nice sign out in front of every school in the country, which would be absolutely truthful, just, center of child abuse or whatever.
These bumper stickers that we made, you could actually just take masking tape and put a couple, you know, little pieces of masking tape on the back, make a roll and stick it on the sign. So you weren't exactly defacing the sign, like they can pull it off.
Yeah, it's not a permanent thing. They don't have to paint over it. They don't have to, you know, blow it off with a high pressure hose or something. You just take it off.
And some of them, they would actually leave up for a very, very long time. So yeah, it's worth doing. I mean, I'm a great advocate of that. We have to culture jam in whatever way we can.
Yeah.
You know, you can create little arty stickers that you put here and there. It just makes people laugh. We have to brighten up the world, right?
Oh, it's just so desperately depressed. It is. I mean, I talk to people every day and it's like these people are really depressed. And these are people that I knew years ago that were quite happy. And now they're depressed. Because
I think you're right about this child abuse thing. I was thinking about that the other day. And my God, those schools are just horrific places. Like, you know, I met with my brother and sister-in-law this weekend. You know, we kind of had an Easter dinner together, and I don't have a lot of contact with my brother. He's pretty mainstream businessman, university professor, right? And when I started, you know, talking about, you know, the new website that I'm really thrilled about, it's called JewsForHitler.com, and there are fabulous videos on that website where a guy who's, I guess his father was a Jew from Bolshevik Russia, and he has started to do a lot of research about, you know, how the religion stuff has been really twisted. And the videos that he has created on that website, JewsForHitler.com, are just fabulous. Anyway, during our dinner, I mentioned this with my brother, and he just went kind of into panic shock, and he wouldn't say anything. He just totally ignored what I said.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, that guy, you know, he's been so abused in the system as a university professor, he can't even talk about real stuff anymore.
No, like that's...
I was just livid. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, how did he get that way? And it came to me, yep, child abuse in schools. That's what it is.
Well, here's some child abuse. I mean, this lady pulled up in a car at the corner store and was getting a coffee. And she had her bunny ears sticking, you know, like the things that stick on your windows. Instead of a flag, it was bunny ears and a little bunny nose on the front of the car. And that was pretty cute. But then when I got home, I looked up, because I was told some stuff when I was a child. We used to have Easter egg hunts. And it wasn't until I did some really deep research that I found out that bunnies don't lay eggs. I'm just fooling around. I'm just fooling around. But when you look at the stuff that's been taught to us in schools and that, like when my teachers would stand in the front of the class and tell us in grade school that oil comes from decomposing dinosaurs, you know.
Ron, do you know that there isn't an Easter bunny? Didn't anybody tell you that?
We had to go get some material today, and we stopped on the way home in this little wee tiny community with a Mennonite restaurant in it. And the food was absolutely, I'm still full. It was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We stopped for lunch, and this meal was absolutely amazing. Fresh roast turkey, fresh buns, lots of really good gravy, lots of really good dressing, salad. I mean, it was an amazing lunch. And and so I asked her, I says, oh, you know, like we had a coffee and then I said, oh, could you bring me a nice tall glass of raw milk? And she goes, yeah. And I said, oh, great, you got raw milk here. Oh, not raw milk. I can get you milk. But I said, but when you go home, you have raw milk at home, right? Well, yeah, but I can't have it. No. Right. You know, but I was just, it was just, I love the way this is set up. You know, I told her, I said, you make me up one more plate of this stuff and I'm going to go back into Hanover and I'm going to take this plate and I'm going to walk into McDonald's and Burger King and Harvey's and A&W and walk in with this plate while they're eating out of their plastic little styrofoam boxes with their plastic forks, eating their plastic food. And I'm not even saying, I'm just going to walk in and watch people go, where the hell did you get that? Right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've gone so far away from what we're supposed to be. And we got to get back there, you know. I feel bad every time I see a kid walking into a school. I really do. It bugs me.
Yeah, I think it's time to... Yeah, that really tickled me when I heard you mentioning that that's what we should do. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Not as much as you tickled me when I'm listening to the phone ring, and I have the headphones on, so I'm trying to hear what you're saying, you know, about doing the schools. Yeah, I got a big chuckle out of that too, but it's not, you know, it's not radical in any way, shape or form. Right. I mean, it's no different than, you know, you're putting up a poster or you're putting up, you know, it really doesn't make any difference. You know, there is nobody that can deny that the children aren't being abused in the schools.
Well, I have to laugh because a couple of friends and myself, one day, like, I was driving down 16th Avenue and I saw a big Monsanto billboard, and it said on it something about, you know, it was advertising some Monsanto product, and then it says, Monsanto kills weeds. So I actually I went home and I made a sign, and then a couple of friends came with me, and we had to have a ladder to get up there. And instead of putting Monsanto kills weeds, we put up something that said Monsanto kills babies.
Did you actually do that?
We actually did that, and they left it up for a good part of the morning, and then finally somebody came and took it down. But you know, we just have to take every opportunity and get the message out. Like, it does my heart good to do stuff like that.
Well, it makes you smile, right?
In fact, I have to, you know, when we were doing the fluoride thing, there's a dentist on a prominent corner here in town, and that guy, you know, he was part of pushing the fluoride stuff, and so we had our you know, stop poisoning us with fluoride bumper stickers. Uh-huh. So I got a friend to come down with me, and it was a Wednesday night. It was, you know, maybe about 8 o'clock at night. And so we walked along, and we started putting them along the side of his office, like putting them kind of at an angle so that when people would park there, they would see these things stuck on his window. Well, I got to the front door, and guess what? The dentist was still in there, and he saw us doing this. And he yelled at me. He said, "You take those things off my window." And I thought to myself, oh, my God, what would Alex Jones do? So I puffed myself up as big as I could, and I just stared at him, and I said, "You take that poison out of our public drinking water." And then I just did a 180, and we stomped off. That was really fun.
And yeah, and it just dropped his jaw. Right?
Yeah.
And the point is, I think the real important point of this for listeners is that, okay, you're not 18, right, Faye? Like, you're not some radical kid running around, right? You know? So, I talked to some, I remember that day I talked to those ladies. They were late 70s, probably some of them in their early 80s. And we had a little chat just on the road. And one of them looked at me and said, so we're supposed to do something. Bingo. Right? Because as long as you're standing on this ground and you're breathing, you ain't got no excuse not to do something.
That's right.
You know? This idea that I can't get involved. Well, you are involved. You're either part of the solution or part of the problem. Pick one.
Well, I'm too old. I have to go and play golf.
Yeah. You know, it's really quite pathetic what's happened to the general public. But, you already know what I said there, but when I was going to teach a night course on history and I hadn't planned on it, I just went to see what was required of me. And this night course lady was just grilling me about what I would teach. And, let me think about it a minute. And I said, I know. I'll teach a course on Canadian history. And her eyes just bugged straight out of her head, and she come across the desk with her finger up my nose with that Borg voice. You know, we know who you are. We don't want anything radical here, right? And I'm going, I guess you're right there, because, true Canadian history is not what you're teaching in the schools, right? So I didn't get to do a night course in that school. They wouldn't allow it. I've talked to several students now who have been asked to leave school and take correspondence courses because they were upsetting the class. And I said, when you say upsetting the class, it's not about throwing chalk at somebody, right? It's about asking pertinent questions of the teacher, and they don't want to answer. And they don't want the other kids to be encouraged by your questions to ask questions. So the only way they can continue their nonsense is to have those that ask questions out. You know, and I've seen that happening in the universities as well. You know, the students have been asked to, leave a particular course or go somewhere else or whatever, because they're basically rocking the boat by asking questions that require answers, and the teachers don't want to answer the questions, because if they answer the questions, they take the lid off the box. You know, we got to keep the lid on it. So, no, I think the graffiti thing, there's no problem. You can buy those colored markers anywhere, and I tried them out, and they work. and when it rains, they disappear. So you haven't damaged anything. And this is, when they go after the graffiti guys, they say, we'll charge you for damaging the building. It costs us this much to paint over it, and yada, yada, yada. Well, none of that happens either with these rain pencils or, like you said, just taping something somewhere, right?
Right, with masking tape.
There's no damage.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't imagine a kid in school today can put a kick me sign on another kid, although we all thought that was rather fun in school. But I don't think you can do that kind of nonsense anymore.
Well, Ron, you have to be politically correct.
What a poor place to live, man. What a poor, poor place to live. It's like all the school monitors or something ended up in the bureaucracy. You remember the people in the school, they go, you're running in the hallway, and what's your problem? Let's see, we're the same age, and you're telling me what I can and can't do? You know, come outside and we'll discuss it. But, you know, but that's all this authority nonsense. It's coming at people from their earliest age, way too late. And, you know, I would be the happiest camper in the world if we could set up, you know, alternative schools, or not even alternative schools, real schools. Real schools, because the real the public school system is actually an alternative education program because it's got nothing to do with education, right? So it's not really even a school. You couldn't call it a school because they're not teaching the truth. They're not you know, it's propaganda. So it's really not a school. So call them the alternative school.
They're mini lockdown prisons. They're horrific places. They're prisons for teachers and kids. So I think we have to start a new movement, and you're never too old to be a rabble-rouser.
That's right.
So we've got to rock the boat, and we have to be rabble-rousers, and we have to give rabble-rouser lessons wherever we go. I'm going to tell people about you.
Might have to start up a live broadcast called Rabble Rouser TV or something, you know. Training to be non-politically correct, you'll be a much happier camper.
If you haven't made somebody mad today, you haven't done your work.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like my lawyers, you know, I said, I rattle a few cages, and my lawyer says to me, he said, Ron, there are no cages you haven't rattled around here. Well, I didn't go about trying to rattle anybody's cage, right? I'm not calling people names in that. I'm just saying how it is. And I guess that would rattle the cages because they know what they're doing's wrong.
But have some fun and go on that website, JewsForHitler.com.
Is it JEWS?
JewsForHitler.com. And they're just nice, lovely, short little videos, and they talk about Holocaust, all the lies we've been told, and they talk about, just how Christianity got hijacked. And he said, it's gone back to, like, 70 A.D. It started with two groups. There was a group of Gnostic Christians, Jews, and then there was a group of Pharisees. And they've been fighting ever since.
Well, it's no different than the political system. Religion is identical to the political system. It has one purpose, and that is to divide and conquer the people.
That's right.
You know, and people got to get around that, you know.
But the website is lovely, and he's the guy.
So do that one more time. Jews what?
Jews for Hitler.
Okay, .com.
.com.
Okay, we're, I think, out of time here. We're going to hear music in about, I don't know, a couple of seconds or whatever. But I want to really thank you, Faye. That was fun.
Heil Hitler. I'm going to celebrate Hitler's birthday this year. I'm going to have a big party because Hitler wasn't the bad guy. There were at least three other guys that were real thugs in the background.
Right,
the name
right.
Of Roosevelt, Churchill, and who was the other one? Stalin.
Yeah.
It was a whole gang of them.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. The phone's ringing. Oh, it's your brother. He wants to know when you're celebrating Hitler's birthday. He wants to be there.
Well, he's my younger brother. I've got a plan next to my music.
Okay, I got music here with me. We're out of here. Thank you so much, Faye. Thanks, listeners. Thank you, CY.TV. We're back Thursday, 7 o'clock, same time, same place. Take care, everybody. We're out of time. Therefore, we are out of here.
Buying time, killing people, vexing live. Lower classes, social slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for the war. They shoot, they kill, they